Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I am your one and only host, Kenny Bedwell, and diving in to today's episode of the Beginner's Luck Trap. So what I want to do is quickly define what a beginner is, a rookie short-term real estate investor. I think that's key because you can have really good experience in long-term rentals or even maybe even midterm rentals, but short-term rentals are just another game. And frankly, a lot of people are beginners, and beginners aren't just people who have zero properties. They're people who have maybe one or two properties who've experienced getting into, I know I just said experience, but essentially they're still new to this industry and they're still learning things. And there is the beginner's luck trap. So first off, before I dive into specifically the mistakes that beginners make, I guess more, this is a mistake. And I want to help you guys understand this concept that I've been kind of studying out. I heard it at a conference recently, but I think a lot of people think that getting into short-term rentals is a get-rich-quick opportunity. I talk to a lot of individuals on a daily basis that are like, I want to cut back on my W-2 or I want to leave my job and do this full-time. And they're under the impression that they can do it in a year or 2 years. Maybe even 5 years, which that could be possible depending on the route you take. But they're taking their knowledge from what they've seen on maybe a YouTube video from 2020 or 2021. Maybe somebody who did rental arbitrage or somebody who was able to take advantage of when housing prices were low and revenue was higher to quickly scale up and grow like a co-hosting business or property management business or just scale quickly. And they're seeing that and they're wanting to replicate that same success. And one of the biggest things that I see that people make the mistake on is they get so hyped up drinking the Kool-Aid of this speed that I can obtain this big goal in such a quick amount of time that it doesn't actually make any sense given the current market conditions we're in with, housing prices definitely inflated, interest rates are higher, meaning expenses are higher, insurance. I can't tell you how many places like in all over Florida, the entire state of Florida, freak. Parts, even Tennessee, North Carolina, insurance rates are going to be going up. I can't tell you how many places insurance rates are just insanely going up. I mean, Proper is no longer insuring people in a lot of large vacation markets. That's not everywhere. I don't want to like scare people away from using Proper insurance, but like they're like the gold standard, the premium, and they're not insuring people in a lot of places now. And the reason why is because the cost has just gotten more expensive. It's gotten more expensive to operate. And so people need to understand that. And some of the mistakes that a lot of the beginner, the rookie investors make is they go into these markets and they don't look at the insurance rates. They don't look at the tax adjustments. They don't think about these things until they're hit with them. But more importantly, though, when we talk about the beginner's luck trap, I think that there were a lot of beginners, and these are the beginners I'm talking about from, maybe even pre-pandemic or post-pandemic, like during the pandemic, who got into short-term rentals and really lucked out and had a property that's doing really well. And it wasn't based on skill. It was based on their timing into the market. They bought at the right time, not that it was calculated or anything like that. They bought and they did really well. And they're under this misconception that they can replicate that same success again by putting in the same amount of effort that they put in before. And so the beginner's luck trap is understanding that truly markets shift, things change over time. And what worked yesterday will not work today. The way you evaluate properties yesterday will not work the way you should evaluate properties today. The way I evaluated properties 2 years ago is not the same way I evaluate properties today. You could probably find some videos on YouTube of me like evaluating properties 2 years ago. I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with everything that I did and why that doesn't work everywhere and what you need to do differently today. Because we are learning that the market has shifted, which is normal, right? So especially as our industry matures, this becomes truly a business-focused industry, meaning like you're going to have the best design decor, you're going to have the right amenities, you're going to have the right presentation, you're going to have every single thing I've talked about in the last few podcast episodes, all these great people, these experts, you're going to have those things, the right revenue management as well. I mean, let's not forget revenue management. So having those key things are the key ingredients to being successful in this industry today, but you didn't have to do that before. And so you still have these people who are getting in and who are preaching from, you know, these soapboxes that you don't have to do all these certain things to be successful because they didn't have to do those things to be successful. And the reality is that is beginner's luck. Okay. We're in a maturing industry. The innovation, the early adopters of Airbnb, that has passed. We are in the, you could say early to late majority. I think kind of late majority is a fair term to this industry. And a lot of people listening to this podcast are going to be investing in markets that are extremely competitive. And so listening to people who invested a certain way a couple of years ago into that market isn't going to get you to be successful today. You're going to have to be more competitive. You're going to have to look at what the top dogs are doing and try to replicate that and beat that with your moat, which is important. So don't buy a property that doesn't have a moat in order to be successful in today's market. I want to transition over to this next part because the idea of really tying into when you buy properties and you think that you're going to use real estate or short-term rentals specifically to get more time freedom and leave your W-2 job in like a year. Like, unless you have a lot of capital, you're not going to pull it off in a year. Okay. Probably not 2 years. It's going to be like a 5 to 10 year goal. It's going to take some time, which is what real estate is really traditionally all about, right? Long-term rentals, if you've ever invested in multifamily before or long-term rentals, single-family homes to rent out, like that was a long-term play for these people. You build up units, you get many doors, and eventually you're able to do that full-time and walk away from, you know, some sort of job or whatever time commitments you had previously that you don't have to do anymore because you got this income coming in from your long-term rentals. And it took like 15 to 20 years. Okay, short-term rentals, I mean, it's just the time that it takes to be successful is getting, you know, longer and longer given the market conditions. Is it 15 to 20 years? No, I just said you could probably do it in five to 10, and that's very fair. And so it's something to look forward to, but we got to be realistic, okay? So what worked yesterday will not work today. That's kind of the primary lesson of what I want you to gather. But here's what I want you to understand. Short-term rentals today is not what we call fast money. Okay. That's the beginner's luck syndrome, where people came in a few years ago. They were able to buy short-term rentals. They were able to get inflated revenue prices or inflated pricing from guests, meaning high revenues, and they were able to be extremely successful. And it was considered fast money. And there's actually three categories. I learned this from Jerry Norton, who's a wholesaler. There's three categories of pace of money that you can earn. There's fast money, medium money, and slow money. Super creative, right? But the principle remains the same. So whatever you're investing in, whatever you're doing, okay, fast money is something that pays you out today for your services. So if I go and I go to my job, all right, I've got a W-2 job. I get paid every 2 weeks on the dot, no matter what, unless I get fired, but I'm going to get paid, okay? No matter what, and it's quick. I don't have to wait a month. I don't have to wait 2 months. I don't have to wait 6 months. I don't have to wait, 5 years to get my time that I put into that investment back, right? Because that's really what it is. Like, think time, your work is an investment. Okay. So what's your investment and when are you recouping the returns from that investment? So a W-2 job is actually considered fast money. Okay. What are some other fast money examples, but with real estate? Other fast money examples are, for example, wholesaling. Meaning you find a seller who's willing to sell their property for, let's say, $500,000, but the reality is it's maybe worth $600,000, okay? And you know that, and you take that, and you take that to another investor, and you say, hey, look, this person's willing to sell their house, but I'm the middleman, and in order to get this deal, they want $550,000 for it. And so you get that $50,000 difference. The seller gets their $500,000, the buyer buys it for $550,000, you get the $50,000. And you can do those deals. That's called wholesaling. You can do those in 30 days or less to get the money and move and grow like that. Okay. So fast money, that's how you get fast money. So money that you get for putting in time, energy, or effort in less than 30 days. Fast money. Let's move to medium money. So medium money is something that where you get money in 6 to 12 months from your investment in time. So with real estate, when we think of medium money, we typically think of flipping. Meaning I'm going to buy a distressed property that's undervalued. Then we're going to go put in a bunch of, we're going to do some renovations, updates, gut jobs, whatever. And we're going to get our money back within 6 to 12 months, or we're going to get a significant chunk of our money back, I should say, realistically, within 6 to 12 months for that effort. And finally, we have slow money, meaning that it takes years, at least a year or more, to recoup the returns from the investment into the property. Well, where do you think short-term rentals fall? Okay. We could go through the semantics all day long. Most people are going to say, based on that definition, most likely slow, maybe medium. Okay. Maybe the tail end of medium, right? Like some people can start to get a lot of their cash flowing and get a lot of the returns probably by the end of year one into year two and three, but that's technically slow money, right? And then definitely long-term rentals, mid-term, all that stuff is definitely slow. I mean, you could have different various degrees within the slow spectrum, but it is becoming slow. All right. When I started investing in short-term rentals in 2017, 2018, it was actually pretty fast. You could get in, you could rent, you could co-host, you could do all these things and get money quickly. And it was considered fast money. The returns that we were getting and the numbers we were seeing was pretty quickly. And then over time, it shifted. It shifted to become more slower. And as we progress over time more and more and more, it will be slower money. So if that's the case, our idea that like I can just dump a ton of money into short-term rentals and expect to, you know, walk away from a W-2 job and all this stuff in a quick time frame actually isn't true. Okay. A couple years ago it was, but with the market shift, it's changed. Like you can change what you're doing with the short-term rental to make it go faster. You can move it more towards the faster end of a maybe in a medium scale or maybe even fast money by doing co-hosting, doing some sort of rental arbitrage, but that's kind of a lot harder. So it's not really something that makes sense, but co-hosting does. Co-hosting would be considered fast to medium money, actually, because you earn the money in the month, you charge the, or you get the money and you pay out to the owner or the owner pays you, whatever it is, within 30 days. That is fast money. However, here's the problem with fast money. You don't want to be caught up in fast money all the time. You don't want everything to be fast money. And the reason why is because fast money gets taxed more, okay? Fast money is for people who need to get capital quickly so they can invest in things that are a little bit slower that earn equity or appreciate over time. There are better tax savings in the medium to slow, especially on the slow end of the pace of money. So the reality is everybody should start out on the fast side unless you have a ton of money already, then you don't need to, but and then we progress to having more investments in medium and slower money. So beginners think they can start at the end, which is fine. But guess what? It takes a lot of time to recoup your capital. And that's not the play. You don't want to be in slow money to make a lot of money. You want to be in slow money to appreciate, get tax savings, and grow your wealth. Okay? Not line your pockets today, but grow your wealth over time. That is what slow money is for. And that's what short-term rentals are becoming. Does that mean it's not wise? No, it's not at all what I'm saying. I'm not saying do this or it's not wise to invest in this or that. It's based on your circumstances. Many people listening to this podcast actually don't need to go after fast money today. Some maybe do. Maybe you're a beginner in a sense of you don't have a lot of capital. Okay. So you can't just go buy a property and then expect it to cash flow and then you're going to get your money back within a year. Once again, that's just not realistic, okay? So, but what you can do, you could do that, but then you need to go start a co-hosting business if you want to try to recoup your money back, right? Or rental arbitrage, wholesaling. And then we talked a little bit about flipping as well as you know, medium to fast, depending on what it is. And you can buy short-term rentals. One thing too that people don't talk about is doing the STIR method where you buy a short-term rental that's undervalued and you update it and you turn it into something awesome, force the appreciation, get your money back quickly within 6 to 12 months, and then move on to the next one. I mean, that's medium money. That's how you can speed up the short-term rental process. But they all require, and you get hit hard with two things. Number one, taxes. Okay, if you're in the fast or medium, you're going to get harder with taxes. And number two, the one that doesn't get talked about is time. Okay. Jerry Norton was talking about these concepts, and Jerry Norton's a wholesaler. He's a really cool guy. Wholesaler talks a lot about wholesaling. But, you know, I was listening and I was kind of like this was at B&B camp in Montana. And Jerry's like basically telling people they need to wholesale, not kind of, but like saying like, look, like if you don't have a lot of properties, this is where you start. And then as you have in a few years, as you have more properties, you start moving and focusing more on slow and slow money. Right. And I'm like, Jerry, like I was kind of sitting there going like, Jerry, read the room. Like these people, a lot of people listening to this have high W-2 income jobs. Okay. And if you don't, that's fine. I'm not like singling you out here or anything, but like, a lot of people listening to this do have high W income jobs or already have a lot of money coming in. They already have fast money coming in that they can use to invest in medium or slow moving assets. I was kind of like, I like your concept, but he's not a short-term rental host or operator or invest in short-term rental. So he doesn't quite understand the dynamic of it and who the audience was. But cool guy, cool concepts, loved it. But I'm taking this and applying it to short-term rental operators. I'm saying, look, most of you listening to this probably don't actually need to focus on fast money. You need to focus on medium money. And it doesn't necessarily always mean buying another short-term rental. Okay. Because what we're discussing is that ends up being closer to your slow money. Medium money and something you need to consider about doing is doing more of what I talked about, stirring, or, you know, I call it stirring, but it's burring essentially, where you're renovating properties that you could either sell or turn them into short-term rentals. Right. So, focusing on that and understanding, especially if you're wanting more time freedom, you're going to have to go for more medium money plays. And buying a short-term rental, a traditional short-term rental, dumping in, you know, a few $100,000 into it for amenities and stuff, isn't how you get that medium money. It's a good long-term play, right? Appreciation, tax savings, all those great things, but it isn't a medium money play. And that's where a lot of you actually need to be. So food for thought, something to think about. Obviously, I don't personally know, whoever's listening to this, I don't know where you're at. I can't tell you where you specifically sit unless we have a conversation and we look at all your assets and your net worth and your portfolio and go, yeah, you probably need to go for more fast money or medium money or slow money even. A lot of people just need to go for slow money and that's fine. For some of you listening, it's like, yeah, you just need to go for the slow money and stay on the course. But we're all at different places. The market shift over time, how we think needs to change. That YouTube video from 3 years ago about finding deals, evaluating properties, get rich quick through Airbnbs is outdated. Change your approach, understand where the market currently sits. And if you can nail that down, figure out where you sit and what's going to be the best play for you, whether it's medium or slow or even fast, that's how you're going to hit your goals. Okay. That's the goal of this podcast. How do you hit your goals and not make mistakes? How do you cash flow positive with short-term rentals and not make mistakes? My name is Kenny Bedwell. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. On November 14th, I am hosting a very special workshop. This is a one-hour workshop. I'm going to be teaching people how to identify and find wildly profitable short-term rentals. It's at 12 p.m. Eastern. If you are interested in attending, feel free to send me an email. We'll try to put down the registration link. It's 100% free. I do these every now and then just for kicks to help people educate on how to find wildly profitable short-term rental deals. I want to see you there. So be sure to check that out or send me a message on Instagram at Kenny_Bedwell. If you need the registration link, it's 100% free. Like I said, it's on StreamYard. You just watch and attend. It will be recorded, but you have to register to get the recording, and it's free. So be sure to be there or get the recording. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I have a special guest on the next episode where we really dive into this beginner's luck trap and talk about some other examples that you need to know and you need to listen to. So I will see you on the next episode of Cash Flow Positive.